now. We're gonna get into the word, because this stuff is messing me up. Lindsay, prepare to be picked on today. Come on, how many of you like Lindsay be picked on today? I realized this morning as I was just spending time with the Lord and going back over things, like God was talking to me about a conversation we got to have last night, and I'm excited. So let's pray, okay? Jesus, we love you so much. God, I thank you that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you're in the midst. So God, we say, we don't want to just talk about you. God, I don't want to talk today and ask you to bless my words. God, we ask that we would come to a greater understanding of what it means for you to be in the midst of us. So God, we just pray that every word that we read of scripture, every place in teaching or sharing, God, that I have, or any comments, God, that we would really, really understand what it means to be in the midst of you and have you in the midst of us. You're teaching us to remember your body. So we ask that, God, today, in Jesus' name, we would encounter your love and we would encounter your truth in a way that changes us. Yeah. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we're in this journey, guys, every week I keep thinking how quickly, I was actually sitting in the room yesterday thinking, man, is there a way that I'm going to be a part of something where in one afternoon we're going to talk about politics, race, gender, and sexuality? Man, people are going to think, why is it taking so long for us to do this at home if we can do this in one afternoon? Well, we didn't even get close to that. And like Lindsay said, we just scratched the surface. But what it reminded me of again is how deep and how important this stuff is. It was so important. People have had experiences that we can know what the scripture says and we can have a heart to obey scriptures. And one of the guys there yesterday said, hey, because Derek was sharing like about how as a child, he encountered racism in his own family. Not blatant because they're trying to be mean. It was just like prejudice that was built in. And before Derek even knew Jesus, he was saying that like, I knew it wasn't right. But then when he came to know Jesus, he was like, man, finally, like, I understand scripture. Like, we can do something about this. We can just go ahead and open it, Katie. It's good. It's like that awkward, the awkward try to do this slowly. Just, all right, here we go. Everybody's going to be on blast this morning because there's just so few of us. We can just pay attention to what everybody's doing. So just understanding, though, like he says at the end, like, we get a chance to put our citizenship in heaven. And one of the guys there just said, you know, I want to do that, but like there have been people that I'm walking toward who I want to go offer to pray for them, but when they see me coming, they cross the street because of the color of my skin. So how do I put my citizenship in heaven whenever I don't even have an opportunity to encounter someone? It was a real question. And I realized as I was sitting there, like, man, I don't have an easy answer to that. But the fact of what we experience and when we experience, hello, come on in. When we experience something that is less than what we know is true, we can't change the standard of what our expectation is. I'm going to say that again. When we encounter something that's less than what we know is true, when we encounter either brokenness or something that we know is not the fullness of what God has given to us, we can't lower our standards. Does that make sense? Okay? I may say it again. I want you to get this. Okay? When I encounter something that's different than what I know God says to be true, I cannot change and lower my standard. Do you agree with that? All right, let's talk about this. So if I say, God, I've sinned, forgive me of my sin, and I don't feel forgiven, can I accept that I don't feel forgiven? As that might be true, because God might not have done his word this time. No. I can't afford to live that way. Psalms 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. He who forgives your sins and heals all your diseases. So we live in a culture where it's easy for us to lower our vision of what truth is to our experience. And so for this guy yesterday who's talking about the pain that comes from wanting to have a Christ-like attitude, but even when I'm trying to have a Christ-like attitude, I'm experiencing things that are not what I know God's truth is, it can be easier to, like, change my expectation. Why do we change our expectations? Guys, why do we lower expectations in relationships? so we don't get hurt. And I believe the scheme of the enemy in so many of the areas we're talking about is that we would, instead of believing for the pure intention of God's design, we would lower our expectations to protect ourselves from getting hurt. So if I believe that God says he forgives me, but I don't feel forgiven, it has been easier for us to develop a theology of like, wow, we're always just these lousy sinners who will never really be free, than it is to look at the word of God that says we're holy and blameless before him in love and say, I'm setting my mind on things above. I'm setting my heart on what God says is true. Does that make sense? So if I don't understand, why do I pray today and I pray for Michael's arm, it's broken and it gets healed today, but I pray for Ben's broken arm and it doesn't get healed. I don't know, but does that mean I stop praying for broken arms? Does that make sense though? It is easier, because I remember when Ben did break his wrist, and it wasn't just a broken wrist, was it? Broken scaphoid, but what was the impact it had on you? And what was the impact that had on you? It was hard. Guys, this is right before their wedding, and Ben is like, as a man preparing, as a bridegroom preparing for not only his wedding, but his marriage, he had like booked a lot of work. And guys, it was not just a broken scaphoid bone. There was a broken heart. I don't think that's speaking too strongly. His heart was, it was really struggled. So guys, I've prayed for people that I don't even love and seeing God do things. And I'm praying for Ben and I'm like, God, why am I not seeing this happen? Do I lower though what I'm praying for and believing for because of what I didn't experience? No, I can't. I've got to say his word is true. And I've got to say I'm not going to come down out of the throne room desire to God to get informed of how to pray. Let me say that again. If Jesus said, hey, pray like this. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Again, let's just pause real quick. What does that word will mean? Desire. Whenever I think sometimes we talk about God's will, it's almost like his last will and testament. It's like there is something that is God's will. But the word will is actually connected to the word willing. What is he wanting to do? So when Jesus says, hey, you pray that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it's not like just like the preamble to the Constitution. You know, it's not just like, oh, this is the pretty part of the nice words to get us to give us this day our daily bread, right? No, it's like this is the baseline of everything else in that prayer. That his throne room desires would happen here like they are in heaven. Right? So we're just building to this because in identity and sexuality and gender, guys, is there one of those areas we can afford to lower our standards from what God wants and his design is in heaven to what we see happening around us? That's why we're talking about True North. Because True North is established. God has established his design. It is good. It is perfect. It is love. It is holy. And we cannot afford in a time whenever the world is confused to reevaluate what we think is true. Are you with me? So we have talked about this identity so far, and we are moving toward a real conversation about sexuality and gender. And right now, we're in the middle of this season that is a bridge between what we believe about identity and what we're going to be believing about and teaching about sexuality and gender. So in this bridge, we are discovering and going through the book of Ephesians, reading about the body. Because really, if we can understand that what God says his design is for the body of Christ is also commonly taught as we learn about the members and design for our physical bodies. As we get into what it means for sexuality and gender and start talking about how often scripture talks about my wife and I being one flesh, we'll understand that whenever God speaks about his body being one with Jesus, guys, this is not just a nice symbolic picture. There's something he's trying to reveal to us. And that's why we're taking time to go there on this journey, because we are asking God to rearrange the way we think so that we'll really be able to know his heart and walk in truth. Amen? Bam. All right, here we go. So last week we talked about the body and the body of Christ, and we said that there were three things. I just want to review quickly, as in like we're going to read them and move on. But there were three things that we discovered last week in chapter three that really speak to us something we can learn about the design of his body and his, as we bridge from identity and who we are together in Christ, right? We have identity as sons and daughters, but then we have identity as a body, or as identity as a family in God, okay? So the first thing we said last week is God's body has a design that was meant to destroy division. We got to worship last night. How did you feel, Katie, last night when we were worshiping? At the end, we're just like worshiping around the fact that, man, there's one body. There's one God. There's one God. And listen, it is awesome to watch what happens when people begin to stop identifying as this row and that row. And last night, I don't know how many people were still there, maybe like 40 people just gathered in this really small space, and we were just worshiping together, honoring the fact that there's one body. There's not 50, there's one body. And as we find our place in the same body, then we can acknowledge that we all share the same Father. Why is that important to our conversation, that we all have the same Father? Amen. Abby said, just for the podcast, Abby said, it changes the way we look to our brothers and sisters. So how many of you have siblings that you love? Raise your hand. Oh, cool. Awesome. This is great. Hey, good job raising your hand. That's awesome. How many of you recognize, like, there's something that you feel about your siblings that are different than just someone you see on the street? So if we all share the same Father in the body of Christ, what does that mean? But if I can look at AOX and say, well, we're really the ones that are doing it right, or if I can look at my simple church and say, well, we're really the best simple church. Just kidding. then it's really easy, guys. It's really easy for us to begin to think, well, we're the ones that have it right. But if I understand, like, it doesn't really matter if I'm the one who has it right or not. What matters is I'm connected. People who are born again, Paul says that the whole family in heaven and earth, watch it, the whole family in heaven and earth get our name from one Father. One Father. Super vulnerable as we're praying for Jim and praying for him to be healed. I mean, one of the things that God's been speaking to me about the most is the fact that, you know what? Even when he makes a transition from earth to heaven, he won't be here anymore. I'm still part of the same body. He's been a blessing in my life. Obviously, our relationship will change. I'm not going to be hanging out and talking with him. But I'm still part of the same body. There are times whenever I remember encounters that I had with love with my grandmother who passed away whenever I was in ninth grade, and I still sense the presence of God. Why? Because we're all part of the same body. And the way that he used her in my life is not done. It's different. So God's body is designed to destroy division. It's also meant to display perfected wisdom. We're going to talk about these two things in just a few minutes. Display perfected wisdom. Chapter 3. It's always God's intention that through the church he puts on display his manifold wisdom and to display the dimensions of his love. So this morning, we're gonna look at a few verses in the beginning of chapter 4, remembering that everything about God, everything about his body is all for the display of his glory. We've said this, and I want to just say it briefly again. I don't want to walk in healthy relationships just because it's good for me, or frankly, even just because it's good for us. But it's really all about the display of his glory. It's all about what will happen when we walk in the fullness of what he has promised. How will his name get glorified? How will he receive more honor? Guys, can you imagine what it would be like to be a part of a church, like the church? What if the testimony on the street about the church was, they must belong to Jesus because look at the way they love each other? So as long as people think of the church as people who don't treat each other very well, we've not yet put on display the promise of what Jesus has said. But man, if I can like posture my heart and posture my life, that I believe that's a promise that can come true today. It may take us many tomorrows to get there, but learning to love Hannah, learning to receive love from Hannah is worth it. Not just because Hannah's cool and I'm cool, and if we walk in good relationship, that then we'll get to love each other. And not just because if we love each other well, that might be good for Michael, but because if we learn to love each other well, that might put Jesus on display. And what if the way that you love the person sitting next to you caused someone to see a glimpse of Jesus? So today, as we move on the bridge and the body, we're going to focus just on a few verses in Scripture about what it means to walk worthy. So would you please look at Ephesians 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 6 today. I'm going to read from the New King James. It says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." Guys, I'll just say before I finish reading the rest of that, this is another one of those scriptures that reads something radically different to me when I read it in context. You know, when I used to like read that verse, like, you know, walk worthy of the calling with which you're called, I made it about ministry. I made it about some amazing thing I needed to grow in so I could be worthy of the calling on my life. But man, we're going to look at just a second of where this scripture fits in context. This is really, in taken in the right context, it's talking about the way we relate with each other. Walk worthy with the calling of which you're called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So even when we're singing, "You're worthy of it all," I know what scripture we're getting ready to read. And man, there is one God who is above all and in all and through you all. So when we're saying that you're worthy of it all, it's not just like what I have in my pocket to give, it's what we have collectively to give, right? So we're just gonna walk through this, okay? Now, everybody, if you're weary, tell the person next to you to pinch you or something, because I'm gonna try to do this quickly, okay? I'm going to try to do this quickly, and I've intentionally not, it's Mother's Day, I intentionally did not try to read a bunch of scriptures because I want us to be able to focus on a few things and pick on Lindsay. That's really my heart. All right, you ready? Okay, so the first word in the New King James is I. Everybody say I.
I.
So we have to understand that when Paul gets ready to make this next statement, to make this next beseeching, or this next exhortation, he introduces himself in a very specific way. So at the beginning of this verse, he says, "Hey, I'm Paul, I'm an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ." But here, he switches. He says, "I, the prisoner." Say prisoner. So he says, "I am a prisoner of the Lord." How many of you, like, that's your favorite worship song, like, right? "Yeah, Jesus, I'm your prisoner." You like that? That's your favorite? Makes that special to you?
Like,
come on now.
Okay. I don't want to leave.
Cool. Cool. I'm glad you have a good reason for that. So, but for the rest of us, we don't have a lot of prisoner. We don't have a lot of prisoner worship songs in our library, right? But here's a word that we do have, and this is actually the word. When you look up the word prisoner there, it actually means bound. So it's the same kind of word or idea as like bond slave, right? So I am bound. So Paul says, "I, the bound to the Lord, I, the one who have been put in chains together with God. I am bound to the Lord. I am bound for the Lord." That's his introduction. He is speaking from a place of identifying himself, not just together with God, but connected to God. Does that make sense? Are you still with me? Did I lose you? Are you there? Say I. the bound to the Lord. I am bound to God. Right? So there's a word there we skipped over. Therefore, the bound to the Lord, or the prisoner of the Lord, and I want us to, let's practice what rule we've been talking about. When we see the word therefore, what do? We look up. We got to find out what it's there for. So let's go back and let's see the end of what he was saying in chapter 3. Look at verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to his riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So he says, this is an amazing statement, and we're gonna key in on a couple parts of it today. But he says, because of all that goodness, I'm getting ready to make a request from you. I'm getting ready to tell you something I think you need to do. Okay, Katie Wester, can you come here for a second? Katie, woo! What year did I meet you in? Do you remember?
Hang on. Spring of 2010. No, spring. 2011.
Okay, so I have gotten to know Katie since 2011, right? How many of you it would make sense to you, and this may seem familiar, because I talked about this a little bit last week, but we're gonna go deeper today. I met Katie in 2011, and how many of you could understand that I have learned something more about the love of God by building and growing a relationship with Katie? Have you learned anything more in our relationship about the love of God? Okay, all right. Okay, Jesse, can you come here? You come stand over here. All this is going to lead to us picking on Lindsay, really. When did I meet you? I met you in 2000. When did your first year of school? 2003?
Yeah.
2000. Say yeah.
Yeah.
I just want her voice. I want her voice to be on the podcast, right? Okay, so 2003. And how many of you would understand that I have learned something about the love of God by walking in relationship with Jesse? How many of you heard me teach about things I've learned about the love of God because I've been walking in relationship with Jesse? Have you learned anything about the dimensions of God's love in our relationship? That's a risky question to ask, right? Right? Now, we're not going to do this with everybody, okay? But let me okay, well, but watch what's going to happen here. Alex, can you come here? And we'll put you. So I want you to begin to think, guys, about dimension, okay? Come stand back here. Begin to think about dimension. I met Alex in 2009. Do you understand that I may have learned something about God's love, learned something more about God's love by walking in relationship with Alex? Does that make sense to you? Have you learned anything, okay? So now, I'm not going to have him come up here, but how many of you know that my relationship with my mom and dad taught me much about the love of God? Right? Okay, so I met my mom and dad 42 years ago. So there's another plane. Dad, hold your hand up. There's another plane that now if I'm here, there's a plane that comes from there here to Katie, to Jesse, to Alex. Do you understand? There's multiple dimensions that are happening here. Does this make sense? Where in discovering the dimensions of God, I want us to think about the word facets. Does that make sense? The facets like on a gemstone. Now, how many of you know, not only have I learned something from my mom and dad, but my life has been affected by the way that their love has affected each other. Can you think about it that way? So my life is now impacted because, and I'm not going to get into the whole story, but whenever my dad was 15, he hears the gospel, 14, hears the gospel, gives his life to Jesus. There are people who are sharing the gospel with my mom. She has encounters with God. But I think you were you right out of school, whatever, you gave your life to Jesus? So you're a lifeguard? I don't know if I have the story right. You're at the summer camp, right? Where were you whenever you came to Jesus? When she was 9. Okay, so 9. And, like, I have family members who were a part of planting churches back before her generation. So do you understand that I'm being impacted right now by people I didn't know who invested love into my mom that brought her to Jesus? Does that make sense? Okay? Now, Ben, I need you. Okay, because whenever I met Ben, before there was a Ben and a Jesse, and I met Ben, I had to know, like, I've already experienced the love of God. Do you understand? I've already experienced the love of God for my family. I've experienced it with Alex. I've experienced it with Jesse. I've experienced it with Katie. But when I met Ben, I had an opportunity to encounter another dimension of God's love. Are you guys still tracking with me? This is really important if we can end up seeing this. Right? So, actually, don't stand so close yet. You're not married yet. And just to be very honest with you, a lot of my relationship with Jesse, a lot of years in that relationship, I could not have pictured Ben being her husband for a lot of those years because of different things, different places where she was at, different places in our conversation. So whenever I meet Ben, I have a choice. Am I going to open myself up to another aspect of God's love? Listen. I want you to be rooted and grounded in love. And together with all the saints, that you would know how high and how wide and how long and how deep. Every relationship is an invitation to encounter something more about the love of God that I'm supposed to be rooted and grounded in. Does that make sense? So watch, as I'm like learning and choosing. When I the first night I remember meeting Ben, I was not real impressed. And that was probably just me having a bad attitude that day. But I was not real impressed. And if you would have said, hey, can you picture this guy marrying Jesse? I've been like, I don't swear. But I may have, like. But the more I began to love this man and be loved by this man and recognize there's something different about him. There's something different about him that he is like an added dimension of who God is. There's something that God put in him that is like not present in me. And I love Gabe, but there's something about Gabe that I experienced God in. But when I'm walking with Ben, I'm learning something different. Do you understand what I'm saying? The facets of a gemstone allow that whenever all of a sudden now God's forming something and now there's a new family being formed, not only is their love affecting each other, how many of you have witnessed how Ben and Jesse loving each other has given them more understanding about the love of God, but it's also given other people more understanding about the love of God? Do you understand that? And now out of that, out of this love, a life is formed. Yet another dimension. Does this make sense? Right. So Lindsay, come here. We could keep going here. Last night I'm talking to Lindsay, and Lindsay's one of these people that I just like the fear of the Lord. It's like, what's happening? What's falling from heaven, you know? I don't even yet know Lindsay the way I want to know her, but my life is being impacted by her. Listen to this. Holy Spirit, please help us. God, give us grace to see this moment right now. I don't even know her yet really well, but my life's already being changed. There is something about the holiness on this woman's life that when I'm just in the room with her and she's worshiping, it like brings, there's something about what God's doing in her that's changing me. Now, how many of you knew each other before Lindsay? Before Lindsay showed up, how many of you knew each other? But yet, can you understand that we may have known love, but now because of God's goodness, now we get an opportunity to know a more full expression of his nature and his character. Does that make sense? Guys, the way we walk with each other and understanding this idea about the body and the design of the body, it's not just like, who do I want to be friends with? Like spending a few minutes holding Lydia the other day. All over again, she's just looking at me. Like, there's not a conversation I can carry on with her, but my heart is being wrecked when I think about the one I'm holding. This is the picture of family. This is the picture of the multidimensional aspect of God. And so, and then Janine walks into our life. And you know what? Janine and her amazing kids are another invitation, if we'll receive it, to know and learn something more about the love of God that we have previously not had access to. You guys can all go sit down. So in understanding the many facets of God, watch this. Do you know the word? How many of you remember the manifold wisdom stuff we talked about last week? You guys remember that? The manifold wisdom of God? Let me explain to you how crazy that word is, manifold. It means, okay, it comes from the root word that means, its root word means diverse. That word means diverse, diverse. That word actually means many diversities. All these people who are up here, like, they have perspectives. Katie has perspectives to God's wisdom that I don't have access to. Do we get this? Do we understand this? Guys, this is wrecking my life. God, I pray that you would wreck other people the way you're wrecking me. Eliza has perspectives that I do not have, and I can either withhold myself from those perspectives or I can submit in love to God and walking in relationship and make, like, bring the fullness of her perspective into my life. And you know what happens as we do that? We get shaped to be more like Jesus. Like, how many facets on the diamonds are good facets? Right? Have you ever seen a diamond before it's carved? What does it look like? It's not shiny. It's not shiny. It's not impressive. It looks like a rock. It's not until it's cut and the facets are put on display that it becomes a beautiful gemstone. Does that make sense? So, like, I listen, with you or without you, I have the Holy Spirit. But if I'm not being shaped together with you, I don't get to see the beauty of what he's doing, right? So we have the manifold wisdom of God, and then we have access to this multi-dimension of God. And so he says, because of the many aspects, that'll be a fun one. All right, because of the many aspects of God's love and his wisdom, he says, hey, I therefore, because of all this stuff, I am asking you to walk a certain way. I'm asking you to begin to live your life, alter your life, and live differently. I'm asking you, would you walk worthy? Now, does that make sense? We're going to pick up speed again. Does that make sense? Because of all this beauty that's in the body of Christ, because, Dan, in knowing you and in watching how you're trying to grow in relationship to love other people, I'm so proud of you. I find myself, like, praying for you a lot and telling other people to pray for you a lot, because I know that you are doing things in your life right now that you don't really want to do because you're trying to grow in love. Let me ask you a question. Has your relationship with Justin impacted your relationship with God? A little bit? Watch, guys. Because of all the diverse places in the body, because of the fact there's something about his love I can't experience without you. Walk different. Walk worthy. This word worthy is very interesting. I want to really encourage you guys to go look it up so you're not just believing me. But the word worthy here, this word for worthy means to equate. The word worthy here means to equate and relate to an actual value. There's an actual value, and I am called to walk in a proper estimation or proper understanding of what that real value is. So it's not just like a concept. There's something real. For most of my life, I'm not necessarily someone who has like, oh, I have to have the best shoes. But we reached a point in time where my mom and dad made a decision that I was really hard on my tennis shoes. And so instead of like blowing through 5 pairs of Kmart shoes in a year, they would give me a certain amount of money and like I would try to save up some money from cutting grass and I bought like Air Jordans when they first came out. And my Air Jordans lasted a lot longer than the Kmart shoes. Does that make sense? But somewhere along the way and growing up, and I had to pay for all of it myself, if I can go to the outlets and pick up a pair of sandals that will be $20 for the summer, that is completely good. I mean, how many say praise God, right? You know, I was like, yeah, that's awesome. You know, I'm like calculating as I'm walking to work. Man, I've got to be down to like 1/8 of a cent per step. You know, this is really good mileage. But there's actually something about the worth. If you saw a sign on the side of the road that it said, you know, diamonds, 99 cents each, how many of you probably wouldn't stop? Gabe, would you stop if you saw that? You would? I just am here to tell you, if it's real, it's not worth 99 cents. And so whenever you see offers online that are look too good to be true, how many of you just believe they probably are too good to be true, right? But when we went, we had a friend when we were on our Harrisburg trip who their family owned a shoe store, and they said, oh, we want you to come get shoes. And Adrian and I were evaluating what each family member needed shoe-wise, and I needed some new sandals because mine had a hole in them. You know, like I was getting really, maybe not a hole, but it was really thin in some places. It was time to either go back and find some more $20 ones or to see what they had. So I walk in, and this is a nice shoe store. I mean, like the very first price that I saw was $285 for a pair of boots. Yeah, on the website, it had like the $3 signs on it. I'm like, oh, I've never bought shoes from a $3 sign place before. You know, but I walk in, I'm like, oh, I don't know. What am I going to do? And so I looked at those boots that were on their sale price, on sale, $285. I'm like, so I find some sandals. I tried them on. I love the way they looked. I love the soles, but they didn't quite fit my feet right. And my friend's son was helping us. But when she walked in, she said, oh, have you tried the Birkenstocks? I said, no, I haven't. And her son got this look on his face. He's like, you know, I work at a shoe store, right? He said, but sometimes if my feet are sore at the end of the day, I just like go home and I put on my Birkenstocks and my feet feel so good. And I wanted to say like, I'm sold, but like it was a gift. So I wasn't even sold. But I happened to catch a glimpse of the price tag. I'm going to transition to the word worship. I'm not talking about the Greek word for worship. I'm talking about the English word worship. You know where that word comes from? It was originally the word worthship. How much is it worth? You're right on point. Sometimes we underestimate the value of who he is. So I can come in, and how many of you know, we can come in, sing songs. We might even feel, oh, cool, Holy Spirit's here. Yeah, because he is. How many of you know, you're never going to go someplace he's not. So when you turn your affection and attention to him, you're going to sense his presence. But sometimes we underestimate his value, and this word worthy means I have a proper understanding of what the real value is. So the idea of how much it's worth, whenever I started walking in these sandals, I have an understanding that they're worth more than the sandals I got on sale, a clearance at the outlets. Do you understand? There's something different about walking this way than walking a different way, walking a cheaper way. I'm telling you, this call from Paul who said, hey, I am bound to the Lord, and because of everything we just talked about, I'm telling you, there's something worth walking different. So walk worthy. How do we walk worthy? Again, we've been through this because we've just walked through this in our reclaiming our DNA. I'm not gonna actually go through and try to teach all these things, but I want you just to look at these words. If I would say, what does it mean to walk worthy of Jesus? I probably would have written things like, have 100% accuracy in prophecy. Always heal people. Lead thousands of people to Jesus. have 100% accuracy in your doctrine. But when he's saying, hey, there's actually something worth changing your life for and walking with Jesus, here's the list of things he says. With all lowliness. With gentleness. Long-suffering. Bearing with one another. Endeavoring to keep unity of the Holy Spirit. How do we walk worthy? How many of those things I just read out are things that you can do by yourself? I can't walk lowly if I'm the only person in my life. But I remember times in my relationship with Hannah and just like growing in friendship and growing in closeness, that there'd be times when she'd say, hey, I need to talk. And like, I remember having to say to her one time, hey, like you mean more to me than what my schedule has shown you. But like making space to like consider and esteem her. Like, I had to make a decision, but I got the fruit of a relationship in return. Does that make sense? Like, there have been times maybe where I didn't have time, but, like, altering our lives to make room, like, means that I now get to share something that is precious to me. Does that make sense? Walking in my relationship with Gabe. Gabe mentioned a few weeks ago that we've had more conflict with each other than he's had with anybody else in his life. But you know what? A lot of that conflict, it's not been absent from gentleness. It's not like we've just been mad at each other, screaming at each other. Could we have walked in conflict without gentleness? Could we our relationship be sustained, though, if we didn't have a heart to treat each other rightly? Do you understand what I'm saying? It allows me to recognize places of conflict without having to be afraid of it. Because when I walk into a conversation knowing that somehow we're going to walk out loving each other more and being more in line with Jesus at the end of this, I can have confidence. Does that make sense? I don't have to build a spirit of unity. I'm keeping a unity that's already in the Holy Spirit. We didn't have to go manufacture unity yesterday. I actually don't think unity is something we should seek. We love each other. Unity is a fruit of love. Unity is a fruit of me being willing to go low, to walk in humility. Does that make sense? So let's read that again. Verse 2, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So why do we walk worthy? There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I want to ask that we really make space in our lives this week. We've spent time talking about the how before, maybe a couple months ago. But I think that, you know, I was reading this morning, and I was thinking about Lindsay, and I was thinking this conversation we had last night was like, hey, like, I recognize... I don't feel like you've been adequately picked on at all. I recognize that, like, I knew God before I knew Lindsay. And I knew his love. But, like, there is something about her having not only permission, but encouragement to bring her full self into our lives, right? You know, sometimes, like, with the church, it's kind of like the hokey pokey. You put your right foot in, take your right foot out. You put your right foot in, you shake it all about. Why are we doing that? Why? Because we're trying to test the waters. But if I could understand what God is teaching about the way I'm to walk with people, it would allow us to put our whole self in. And I was just watching what was happening in the room last night. I'm like, Lindsay, I just want to encourage you that you're an important part of what God's doing. And I just want to say, put your whole self in. Why? So that other people can experience something? Well, maybe. But honestly, like, I'm just jealous of what God is doing in her life. And I'm not jealous because I want to take it from her. I'm jealous because I realize God's provision for me is found in someone else. Does that make sense? What? I'm jealous not because I want to take something from her, but I'm jealous because I recognize God's provision for me is found in the life of someone else. Guys, when I broke my back 2 years ago, it was crazy. God was, man, just such, it was so miraculous that the recovery happened and what it did. But one thing I became aware of pretty quickly is that my body was trying to compensate for itself. So I broke L1, L2, L3, those vertebrae. So right down by my belt. But where my back would hurt would be up high. There was no fractures there. Why? Because my middle back and upper back were trying to take the pressure off my lower back. What happens in the body, what happens in your body when one muscle is doing too much? Is that true? Alex, let's talk about overworking one muscle. What happened?
They got swollen.
And it was hard to tell for some of us because they're always so massive, right? But did you experience pain? Was there other effects to other parts of your body? Were they good effects? No. When one part of us is overworked, it actually not only puts damage on that part of the body, but it also deprives the other parts of the body of what is necessary. So Gabe and I are talking, and we've just been praying about this whole thing about the body. And we're recognizing, man, I can read scripture and want to have every part of what scripture says true in my life, that I'm strong in all of it. But if I recognize, hey, is there something where I'm lacking, but somebody else in the body is really walking in strength? I have a choice. I either try to do it on my own or else I can get with that grace and allow what's in their life to affect my life. Does that make sense, you guys? This is important about the design of the body, right? Because there's one body and there's one Lord and there's one Spirit. And if all of us keep trying to manufacture things so that we're all independent of each other, then we won't understand the fullness of how God meant for us to fit together. I was never made to be independent from you. I wasn't made to be codependent, but I was made to be interdependent. So in reality, even though I've spent less time with Melissa than I have with Hannah or Micah, like the way that Melissa and her life in her relationship with God, in her desire to see her kids grow, has had a profound impact on me because I now have relationships with her children. And let's just say Melissa was like, I don't know if I really want to follow God. I don't know if I want to raise my kids to love Jesus. Do you think I would know Hannah or I would know Micah? And if I didn't know Hannah and I didn't know Micah, would my life be different? So it's just, even though I don't know her, and could it be easy to say, oh, we're not a part of the same body? Am I a part of the same body? It's a different part. It's not the same relationship. But guys, this is so important, not just the how, but the why. Why? Because there's one who is worthy. There is one who is, I don't even want to say it this way, but in comparison to like my $20 outlet shoes, there's one who's Birkenstock worthy. Right? There's one who is worth paying a higher price for. Because like that comparison's so cheap. But do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I'm not just looking for what I can get by with. I can get by with a pair of $20 sandals from the outlets, but it's not going to give me the same thing. So as we pray today, this is all for his glory. This is the body of Christ, the design of his body. Like, it's not about me being a superstar where I'm exercising all the parts. It's about, wow, God, you've designed other people. You've designed Alex to have strengths that I don't have, not because you don't love me, but for the display of your glory. Because whenever I connect with Alex in a place where he's strong and I'm not, it actually gives glory and honor to Jesus. Guys, if any of us had 100% accuracy in your prophecy, you had 100% accuracy in your teaching of scripture, you had 100% accuracy when you prayed for the sick, we wouldn't have room in this space to hold all the people that would come. Actually, when we see people who maybe even have like 60%, thousands of people flock to them. Hey, I'm all for let's grow in all the gifts. But I'm not about trying to build something out of your gifting. What I would love to see is how would Jesus get put on display if we could all learn to grow together. Whenever Andrew is up here, there's just something different because he brings something different, right? And so there are more people who can play the guitar, but like Andrew, God has a unique gift and a design. When I walked in the one day and Eliza's up here on the keys, like that's different. And there's a different grace that is there because it's being put on display. Guys, the way Bear was worshiping back on the slides today. I mean, guys, I look up and Bear is just like, I mean, he's like a keyboard player who's like playing like, you know. Bear is doing the slides with all of his might. Like, I don't know if anybody has ever done slides with all their might the way that Bear does. Now, when Mike Weber's doing slides, there's a smoothness to the slides, right? But listen, does that impact anything? Yes, it does. So in walking worthy with each other, it's understanding that because of this multifaceted dimension of God, does it make sense that why it's important for us to understand we haven't yet arrived? Because there's going to be somebody I want to meet tomorrow that's going to teach me more about God's goodness. And there'll be something I meet next. There'll be someone I meet 2 years from now. Listen, I'm not trying to get to this place where I'm complete in my journey. It's a joy that my journey continue. I get to continue to grow with him. And as long as there's breath. Jim Erb is sitting over in a nursing home right now, and he's struggling to breathe. But every nurse that walks into that door is an opportunity for him to know more about the love of God. But guys, perspective, every nurse who walks in that door is an opportunity for them to encounter something in God they've never encountered before. John Weissman has been, we'll just close with this. John Weissman's been telling me that as he's been praying for Jim, there's a story about Corrie Ten Boom. How many know who she is? Amazing woman of God who had a really hard period of time and just really struggled with the purpose. Paul said, hey, I'd rather go and be with him, but I'm staying for your sake. Well, you know, if you're laying in a bed and can't move, sometimes it's really easy to think, what's the purpose of me being here? I'd just rather be with God in heaven. But God was working in Corrie Ten Boom's life and came to a place where even in the midst of her suffering, the love and the majesty of God was being put on display. He prays for Jim that in the midst of this hard place, that the love and the majesty of God would be put on display to him and from him. When you suffer this week, it probably won't be that way. Abby said something to me yesterday. It was kind of funny. I walked out of here on Friday afternoon, and I forgot my van. I usually walk to work, and so I walked out the back door, and I left my van in the parking lot. And we got ready to leave yesterday morning to get on Pittsburgh, and Abby said, Dad, the van's gone. I said, what? I'm having to text people, hey, I lost my car. That's what they wanted to do. How'd you lose your car? So we're walking in to find, where's my vehicle? And Abby said something like, well, I was like, you know, should have a ticket on the car. You know, in some places they'll tow you if you park in an overnight parking lot, you know. Like, well, I'm glad it's not towed. And she gets here, she said, oh, it's not a ticket. And she said, oh, there was mercy because of our just cause. I'm like, honey, there was no just cause. I just forgot. You know, it was just forgot. But you know what? There have been times in my life when I've been having a bad week. And if I would have gotten a ticket, I would have felt like I was being persecuted, like I was suffering. Walk worthy. Customer comes into where you are and treats you disrespectfully. Walk worthy. Someone crosses the street because of the way you look. Walk worthy. Someone overlooks you or doesn't understand you. You get into an argument with someone you love, your spouse or friend. Walk worthy. Walk in love, not offense. How? Those things are listed. Why? Because there's one who's worthy. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we recognize that there's only, there's no one else like you. And in recognizing there's no one else like you, God, as we study the body, as we study your design for our relationships with you and our relationships with each other, can you guys just stand with me? God, we pray that there would be an encounter of worship. Yeah. We'll pray for you. God, just take 20 seconds right now. The best you can, look at the face of Jesus. God, we just turn our eyes upon you. God, there's not a person in this room who doesn't know that there's a practical price to pay in walking with you. In some ways, God, we just say, like, you paid the price, and like, your salvation is free, but you said if you're going to follow me, you have to take up your cross and deny yourself. God, I think that we're to the place where following you may cost us everything, but you're worthy. So God, let there be a clear display to us this week of your worthiness. And again, guys, I just want to point us back as we're praying that the call to walk worthy was not investing more time in worship. It was not investing more time in the personal study of the word. Those things are good. But the call of walking worthy was the way we interact with each other. So God, we're not trading one for the other, but we're saying we hear you. You're coming through. Your word is speaking to us, God.